the Lord would do that for us. That which you requested, it would be a good evening. Far beyond good. Well, if you'll turn back with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, we'll move on. To verses 2. And 3. Before we do, though, would you join with me as we continue our service in prayer? Gracious Father, the hymn spoke to us about the voice of God. But so little is known of that. So few have ever heard thy voice. Read the scriptures many times, but they've never found a personal word from thee to them. All we can ask you to do, dear Lord, is make thyself known. Speak. Cause us to hear. And then if you will grant that, provide grace that we carefully attend to the hearing, that we labor to hold on to that you might give us, and fix our hearts some way only, Lord, you know. Bring us into an awareness of this is the place where the Lord meets. And grant that we might find out what reverence humility of heart thankfulness and bowing before or in thy presence. Would you grant that we might find out these things? And that hearing you now, we will not be in that large number that will hear you, and it be the most devastating words that could ever be uttered. Depart from me. So, Father, you've given us this opportunity to, I trust, draw nigh, learn of thee. And begin making preparation to stand one day in thy presence. Not this that we know or sense from time to time here, but in thy immediate presence and in the fullness of thy glory. Be merciful unto us, to every soul here. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 2. She has not found him. But she will continue on. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. And then the watchman. If anybody ought to know where he is, the watchman should. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And the first phrase in verse 4, not finding any help there, not finding him in the streets of the city or in the broad ways, probably those places where a number of people gathered. Not finding him in there, and the watchman not being able to direct her to him. And you said it was but a little that I passed from them. It is not the great apostle speaking. One of the major or even minor prophets. It's not the renowned pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle there in London, or of George Whitfield out in the open air, or the Wesleys, or the great theologian in America, Jonathan Edwards. It's not any of these that is speaking. And yet, at the same time, you can find here in them that she has. So it could be the heart of Paul or of Mr. Spurgeon or of Whitfield or any of these others, but not in the capacity of service to the church. Just a Christian. Just a heart. Void. Empty. Lonely. Somewhat deserted. As you know so much that life is worth little except it be in fellowship with Him. I am certain that she knows the omnipresence of God, but there can be no satisfaction found in the letter of the law. She could be, as most Christians have been, having tried the pleasures of life, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this world. But in seeking to fill that emptiness within and all these things, she did not find satisfaction. She is not a thorny ground hearer where the pleasures of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things choke out the Word of God. Not one that tried for a time found out there's little in this, and she goes back to a former way of living. Here's the primary labor of a Christian, and it is that labor within each of their hearts. Now, I know Jesus went about doing good. I know that David served his own generation by the will of God. I know that he that hath the light of God within will let it be seen in the good works he does. Our Master taught us that. I understand that we are His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I know that works will follow all Christians. And with James, that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. But I also know with any and all of these good works, if they proceed not from a right heart before God, all of them are in vain. God sees, recognizes, or gives you credit for any of them. And though the Christian is created unto good works, and true saving faith always has good works, any work that does not proceed from a heart given over, united to and in love with Christ is not good works. And good works are always secondary to a right relationship. Okay, how much good you do, how kind, benevolent you are, how much society looks and recognizes you for that you do for fellow man. If they do not spring from communion with the Lord, unacceptable they are before God. Timothy, take heed to thyself. You're first. Your heart, its condition. And then to doctrine. So even the foundational truths of Scripture are secondary to taking heed to your heart. And all good works are secondary to taking heed to your heart. Christ said, if you get down to the worship service, you brought your gift, and then when you get down there to the altar, you remember that your brother has ought, a legitimate complaint, a right to have been offended by you. Leave your gift. Go wherever your brother is. Get things right with him. And then come back and take care of worship. She didn't forsake her seeking after him, the one great issue of her heart, and begin substituting duty, which we are prone to do. Lord's not here, I'll read a little more. That might be a way of finding him. The Lord's not here, I'll spend 5 more minutes in prayer. That might be a way of finding him. But these are not him, they are only means. And she didn't rededicate herself. Didn't take up a list of chores to do so that God would be pleased and come back. No, I didn't find him on my bed, seeking for him by night. I will now rise and go down the streets and into the broadways, and perchance I meet some wise one that should be able to tell me where he is. I'll see if I can find him by them directing. She's doing right in seeking. But it's going to be you all alone when you find him. You've got to find him personally. I can't tell you where he is. Can't tell you how to get there. I don't know where he is for you. But you gotta get there. If you do not have him, you do not have anything. Strike off your good works, your good person, and get to him. And God sometimes withdraws from us due to our sin, but sometimes God withdraws from one when there is no sin. And it is his absence that intensifies the longing for him in a soul. I must find him. Life has no meaning. My duties, there's nothing in them. And the obstacles of darkness, the dangers that might be around the corner trying to find someone in the dark, are the watchman unable to help. God worked all that, not to keep her away, but to intensify that longing in her soul and prove to her own self, try me, Lord, and know me. Well, David, don't you know that God knows all things? Oh, that's not what I'm asking. I want God to make me to know the sincerity of my heart. I want to know what God's thinking about me. And so he withdraws from us from time to time to prove to you whether or not you're sincere. If you give up, you have no sincerity in your heart. If you give up, you never knew him to begin with. Because one of the evidences of life is a continuation in pursuit of the giver of that life. And how many of us have over the years taken lightly these jewels that God has given us? When you lose them, you're more careful in the way you handle them in the future. When you lose them, you are more diligent in your search for them, depending upon the value they are to you. If you ever find real value, I'll just say in a thing, because I know all of you mothers and fathers have found value in your children. Well, we'll say if you find value in a person or in an object, you are very careful to guard. You keep a close watch upon. You hold it with a firm grip. And some of you young folks right now, you think moms and dads are hard and they don't understand, and you won't ever understand until you've got a little gift from the Lord. And that becomes one of the treasures of your heart. Then you can look back then and understand how mom was then, or how dad was then. If you lose something of value, if your child went missing, you'd go to unlimited ends. Use all the resources and find all the sources that you possibly could to help you get back that object so dear to your soul. What of Christ? The value of the Redeemer's work and of the Redeemer's blood is dependent upon the degree of guilt and sinfulness and utter inability to help self. And then if there is within a guilty soul and you find him, he will become a treasure. Luke, Jesus said, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. To whom little is forgiven, how much did he have to forgive you? The degree to your knowledge of that is the degree to which you love and are seeking him. Well, I confessed to him that I was a... No. And yes, you must. But in that confession, was there a realization within your soul, from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, leprous sores, within a heart so defiled that you could not know it, sin so deceitful that you did not even know the depth of your depravity? How great a sinner were you when you supposedly found Christ? You know the reason that Christ is held in so low esteem these days? You know the reason that worship is all but gone, and where there is any, it is at such a low ebb that it is almost non-existent? A withdrawn spirit. He not convincing men and women, boys and girls, of their sinfulness. Most Christians today are man-made, church-made. And Christ is held lightly or in such a low esteem. After this in your own heart, what place does He hold? You, this church, or any church, in the concept that they hold of God will determine the degree of their dedication and worship. And God is so on man's level today that He's thrilled to death that we parked our being on the pew and honored Him with our presence. On the larger power lines, they range from 155,000 volts up to close to 800,000 volts, depending on the distance that the electricity has to travel. And when it runs in the lines by your home, it's been reduced to 7,200 volts. And then when it goes into your house, it's been reduced to 220 volts. Because you don't have a machine in there that can handle. Every one of them was built to handle voltage equal or less than 220. I sometimes wonder what the total amount of electricity or energy produced in an hour worldwide would be. Put all the power plants together. All that the sun, the wind, the water, the coal, the nuclear energy, put them all together, and God's greater. Now supposing a little sparrow flew up and lighted on one of those lines, 7,200 volts. And it sits up there thinking how great and powerful I am to sit this high off the ground as I look down at you little earthbound creatures. But worse would be a caterpillar. They crawled the power pole and got out on that large amount of energy. And that earthworm looked down on everything and everybody. That's about the mindset of most professing Christians and most churches. Sitting up here on this, and it wouldn't take but just a little of it, that power, till it would totally destroy the bird, the worm, you, me, or anything else. And they've reduced it from thousands to hundreds of volts. Isaiah 64, I only want you to read, and I know if you ever say that, folks will keep on. Isaiah 64. Now, if you go on in the 64th chapter, you're going to find out how unclean and how filthy all our righteousnesses are. But I want you to read with me only the first few words of verse 5. Thou needest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. God meets with the individual that is happy in God's service, joyous in communion, in fellowship, and like the bride, he's missing, but due to her heart, he will make himself known. I will meet you that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. God will meet that little earthworm. God will meet that one who's aware that her righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God will meet the individual that's got a heart seeking him. Now you go and you plug up your vacuum cleaner or turn on the coffee maker or the microwave. And that machine has been built internally to work on 110 volts. Only that amount. Now, according to our verse, and that which God has and is doing, wherever there's an individual whose heart has been prepared by the Spirit of God, then they have a necessary receptibility for a manifestation. I can receive that amount that God has fixed me to receive. No more. If I'm running on this amount of electricity, It's because God has prepared me. And if I can receive more at times, it'll be because God has prepared me. And God will limit that I know of Him in a degree to that which you can handle. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70, and He sent them out two by two into every place and every city before His face where He would come. Wherever Christ shows up, to whomever Christ manifests Himself, somebody's gone ahead of Him and fix their heart to receive Him. Now, no one here can tell fully of the Redeemer's glory. If an angel that so far excels man or put them all together in his knowledge of Christ, if an angel came and spoke, none of us could understand. We couldn't grasp. We couldn't mentally comprehend. So this is why in every heart, if you don't find Him in one place, you look for Him in another. Because God has fixed within that is only satisfied in fellowship with Him. And it's the pursuit of the heart preparing you by one degree upon another, one line upon one line, one precept upon one precept, in beholding Him wherein you are changed. And tomorrow you might have a greater ability to behold more of Christ. But it is only because in your seeking, the Spirit of God is preparing you for a reception of meeting with the one you're seeking. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't have any idea. I don't know what the souls of those that have departed and with Him are like in glory. Don't know what it'll be like to be there without a body. Don't know. Does not yet appear. But this we know. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Body, mind, soul, spirit. For we shall see Him as He is. And every faculty of a poor redeemed sinner will be fully developed. But it is as children growing. We crawl, we take a step, we walk, we run. Drank milk for a while and then were able to begin eating meat. So every redeemed sinner, as life moves on and passes by them due to the heart that God has given them, they will be prepared. Fully developed. To behold Christ in all His glory. Your mind will then be fixed upon the greatness of His person. But it's not going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's not going to happen in a moment. It is happening over a lifetime. The eye will be developed to the point that you can see God in the brilliance of His glory and it not destroy you. Now you want to know how weak we really are in the sight of God. When anyone, even the disciple that leaned on Christ's bosom, beloved Daniel, the disciples that walked with him were taught by him when to the least degree the glory of Christ shone forth through the veil of his humanity, fear, that's in his children, dread, that's in his children, and a dead-like condition prevailed. And for some of you may go through a lifetime and never know what the fear of God is in your soul. It took the life out of John and out of Daniel. That glory was so bright, and Paul only got a glimpse, but the glimpse he got was so bright that they led him into the city as a blind man. But when we see him, we shall be like him. If you are not viewing him now, though through a glass darkly, in the pages of Holy Writ, if you are not viewing him now when you shut the closet door, if you're not viewing him now in walking with him and beholding him, in getting your eye acclimated to such light, you one day will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you. That's the reason God has implanted within the children's hearts such a desire to please, fellowship with, serve, and most of all, just daily communion. Because it is in that you are being prepared. And the little caterpillar on the 7200 boat, we little worms of earth, won't be destroyed when we see him. You can ask me, and I can tell you, all I can tell you is you must pursue. You must press on. I might share with you a verse or two. I might pray for you. You might know someone else that might could help you. But in the end, you're going to be all by yourself when you find him. And you will find that nobody else is personally able. We might point you in the general direction. We might give you right counsel, but we can't get you to Christ. But in her heart, she pursued on in the face of difficulties. So must you and I.